All right, we're recording. Just listening to Noah Chandler, like, wait a minute, these guys are little anal jerks. Some guy Google had his own personal website. They looked on Wikipedia to figure out what he was about. And on the Wikipedia, it said, hey, here's his personal website. And it's like from when he was at the University of Toronto. And they said, oh, it's one of those blink tag things. Oh, from like the 90s. And you're going, dude, that's exactly what mine kind of looks like. It's only slightly more stylized, and only so because I use I use a wiki to do what I do. I used to use a very low-grade wiki, but I started using DocuWiki. And, because, can I tell you, a file system is a really good database. When you choose not to use when you choose to use a different database as opposed to a file system, it's doing a database on top of a database, and let me tell you, to a large extent, you're just refactoring stuff. And usually, what you are taking advantage of the tools that are already there for like backup and things like that, that make a lot more sense. Everybody complains about, oh, I hate doing backups on databases because, you know, I end up having to back up the entire thing every single time. You can't do an incremental file backup because it's constantly goofing with a million files, so it just ends up, you have to back up the whole dang thing anyway. So a database on top of a database is dumb. If databases could find a good way to if you don't need the file system because you're running a database, don't bother having an operating system underneath it. I think that's the biggest thing, is when you don't need an operating system. Back in the old days, they had, the basic interpreter on your little home computer did everything. Then they started having OSs. I'm not saying the OS is bad. It's there for good reason. You know, it takes care of a certain chunk of something so that another program doesn't have to worry about it. It was the very first, I don't know what you call it, an API, things like that. You did system calls to do things that you didn't want to have to handle. Mostly to do with the interface between what you were doing and software, and you didn't want to have to write a new program for every single computer. You could write to the system calls, what we would normally call an API now, and it would do that. Now, once you get layers and layers and layers, now subscribe. So anyway, I'm sorry. Getting back to it, they were really trash, this guy. He said, oh, that's so cheap. That's so chintzy. And it's like, you know what? And I started thinking back, and I said, is that really all these guys have to say? Is when you make, small gaffes, you know, Curry and Dvorak will be the ones to jump on that. Their experiences, can I tell you, interesting. You know, and you don't want to poke holes in what people have done and what they do. They're making more money than I am, which, if that's your goal in life, and it is, for most people, I mean, you know, I'm supposed to be good on prosperity, so here we go. Prosperity is measured in money around here, so they're doing better than I am. But it's mostly marketing tricks. And you go, well, there's certainly labor to be done to try to get eyeballs, or in their case, ears. And, you know, they do it with kind of a mix of telling people that they're really part of the program when you're going, I guess some people throw clips at them just to see what they'll say about them. Let me tell you, it really feeds on the need for attention. The whole value for value model, sadly, when it comes to podcasts at least, is all about, really, you reward people by reading what they've written or doing the little ISOs that they have. And their little tricks. Oh, look, they're talking to me. They're talking to me. And you've paid thousands of dollars for this wonderful privilege. Now, it does come back to the whole thing of, instead of having an intervening advertiser that does jaundice what's being said, these guys don't have that. But, you know, with the power of it, They don't really do much with it. Probably because, okay, Curry comes from a radio background. You know, even though they say, oh, his big thing was being a VJ on MTV when he was a kid. And you go, yeah. He says, but that was just radio with a visual aspect. And did it really survive the day? And you're going, not really. How many music videos are getting done anymore? And you go, very few. Or you don't see them as much. They aren't as captivating as they once were. Music television was music videos when it began. And there was a couple of other things that were the same thing. There was one for country music. There was one for more adult contemporary than like the top 40 sort of stuff. And you know, what's become of those things? They've all morphed into something else. MTV is just another television channel. You know, it doesn't specialize in anything. It's got some shows that it's known for, mostly reality TV, and you know, it's mostly a reality TV channel. I don't even know if they have any time where they do music videos, because people don't watch them anymore. Anyway, it was kind of a fad. It came and it left. Anyway, and so He comes from the radio side where it's like, you don't want to be too controversial because you won't be able to get kind of a critical mass of people that will hang with you through times when you do something that makes people what's a good word for it? When you offend somebody. So he kind of plays on the not being offensive, but he's really not an offensive guy. John C. Dvorak is everybody's interesting curmudgeon, you know. And I'm a curmudgeon too. And my wife doesn't like me for being a curmudgeon. So I have to try to do better because it's much more important for me to get God's favor and Lisa's favor than it is to do anything else. So there are some ways I could probably make a whole lot more money than I do. But and it's really interesting because Lisa must have nothing to do with me and my stuff. Basic level of toleration. You know, but God said marry her, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm doing the marriage with her. And you go, but it sounds like you don't really, you know, that she doesn't really think much of you, or, you know, of what you do. And you go, well, you know, that's just living. If I married somebody who really liked what I did, I don't know if that would even be good. So I'm very happy for the marriage that I have and for my wonderful wife, Lisa. And and I try to make life about Lisa, and I don't know if that's a good thing because I don't know. Let's not get weird about that. I don't criticize Lisa. I try not to. And I'm not gonna bring it up. You know, the only criticism people can level is it seems like Lisa doesn't think much of what Jason's about and what Jason does. And it's like, yeah. And she's always, I think she's frankly terrified that I'm going to do something that's going to make us is going to drop us back to poverty, and that's one thing she does not want. And I get it, I understand. So that's important. Okay, I'm sorry. So yeah, circling back, trying to get back to what I was originally saying about. So these guys are just, you know, it's like that's their now. They will actually get down, Curry and Dvorak, to saying, I don't think this guy is right. I think something else is right. But they do, you really can't call it an ad hominem attack. It's more like, and I think they're pretty upfront about it. They really want to be kind of a style and success consultancy, and they kind of play at that. I think it's kind of a side... It's kind of a sidelong glance at... It isn't about what you say. It's about how you say it. It's about how you look. You know, it's about your presentation. These are the things that are the most important. For getting whatever you want out of life, popularity, I don't know. So, they're trashing this guy about his personal website. And you go, yeah, it means it isn't produced by somebody else. It's done with very simple things just to put out what you'd like to put out. When I put up my my website for to say, hey, I've been on AWS, and I can put stuff up on AWS, and I'm not saying I'm God's gift to it. I'm basically a Linux server guy, and or at least that's what I do for money. And so anyway, so I put this thing up and I said, oh, well, you know, I needed an application. So I built up the stack that the application required, a LAMP stack, which I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of the LAMP stack at all. For a period of time, it was the underlayment of many developed applications, and they're all developed. I don't know why I make that distinction. Anyway, you know, and so there were all kinds of things put in place to try to mechanize this and to make it work better, and it really became a fad. To be honest, when people talk about how amazing Kubernetes is, or Docker, anything that's like that, some kind of containerization, I think when it comes right down to it, it isn't that big of a deal. And trying to program to it is such an amazing hassle. If you thought LAMP was kind of constraining in what it was willing or not willing to provide for you, LAMP was Linux for the operating system, Apache for the web server, MySQL for the database, for the underlying database, which I don't think is really all that necessary, and then the programming language on top of it, which was either PHP or Perl, usually PHP. I think it started as Perl, and then it kind of morphed into PHP. It made that adjustment. And that was the big thing. Everybody better learn how to do PHP. And PHP's still there, and it's still being developed. I think it might be slowing down a little. Kind of like Perl did. Perl started slowing down a lot. It was the original web programming language. When you did the old days, it was any one of a number of operating web servers. There was very much a field of web servers. Apache ultimately kind of won, except Nginx kind of took its place. And I don't use either one. I use what's called Caddy because I'm lazy, and Caddy is for the lazy people. You know, like I said, here's how I did it. I found a product that I said, hey, I can put this up. I can put this up rather easily. And it usually comes from, well, I don't know. Anyway, I came up with my product, which was WackoWiki, which I only use for this one application. I've never used it again. It's not my preferred thing because I'm not a database guy. I think databases are contrived. They are such terrible overkill. Oracle, anyway, it doesn't matter. It was all about people using SQL, and it was such a big thing. SQL, 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 SQL. And you go, I don't give a flip about SQL. You get your application and you build whatever infrastructure underneath it that application builds. Now, I'm a guy that, you know, have I messed with containers myself? No. Has work had me do it? Yes. Do I think it's a fad? Yes. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to take over the world? And you go, you know, I don't know. Maybe. Probably not. Mostly people, containers were big at Google. Google was big on containers. And so, and that's where it mostly came from. And you'll say, oh, no, no, there was a lot of people. And you go, yeah, but Google gave it the critical mass it needed to become this huge thing. So everybody wants to do the new thing. All the programmers were right for that. And you have to understand, programmers always have an eye toward getting on with that top flight company and using the stack that the top flight company uses. Google uses containers. I remember when I was at Dell and they had servers. Well, they had servers that really weren't all that built on kind of the Wintel standard, Windows on Intel. They still used some of those constituent parts, but they'd stripped down a lot of it. And it made it, tried to make it as fast as possible. And I didn't know it at the time because nobody was talking, at least I didn't know about the fact that they were mostly using it, stripping out all the extra crap that they didn't want to use and certainly didn't want to pay for in their data centers for these containers, for these containerized applications that they started using. And so Google was really, really the outfit that kind of spun this up, and this became a big thing. It's gotten to the point to where it's on its own. A lot of places have started doing it, but I still think of it more as LAMP. And you're going, it's going to have a run, but I don't really know if it's going to take over the cluster. It could. I mean, you know, take over computing in general. I think it's still kind of, they really have not eliminated the complexity of it. And that's kind of what happened to LAMP. It got too invested in certain things, and the constituent parts didn't do a very good job of serving, of subverting itself for the needs of the whole. I used to work with Zope, and I sometimes think I'm going to go back to Zope for very specific things. Older Zope. Zope really got married to Plone, and it became, you know, and it just became the lower level of Plone. No other applications now use Zope at all, because it's just too, it was too complicated. People really had problems writing to it, and all the people moved on to other things. You know, it eventually became the underlayment for a kind of the middleware for for just one in a competing bunch of content management systems, of which Plone was just one. But it was what was dominant, and it was, you know, you can say, oh, it's the tail wagging the dog, and you go, yep, sure was. If Zope is the dog, Plone is the tail that's wagging it, and ultimately, that's what it ultimately ever became, was it was just what was underflown, and after a while it was just like, who cares what's underflown? You either use Plone or you use something else. And soap is now, you know, they tried to make it into a toolkit that nobody uses. And it's sad to see when you make these almost strategic partnerships that sometimes the partner just takes you over. Anyway, so I have to be honest. I think Kubernetes is going to go the way of blockchain, in that it's very much kind of a niche thing. Google's big enough that it can play that game, and having Kubernetes skills is a wonderful thing to get on at Google. All these places are all excited about containerization and something. The old players aren't interested. You don't see Oracle wanting to get into containers. From their standpoint, it would be too hard, and it kind of flies in the face of their model. I think it'll go the same way as Hadoop and all these other things. Now, you know, there's still places that use them, big places that really committed to it, and I think my current employer is very much hoping for containers. Honestly, I don't think it's really that much of a thing. And that I'm not going to spend a lot of time pouring my life into it. The whole thing about Unix, which was kind of the granddaddy of Linux. It's actually what made Linux Linux was Unix. Anyway, and part of what people found out about things and about life is if it's good enough. If you try to constantly keep making big, huge improvements, or try to say, well, this was we've learned a lot from things, and you go, uh-huh. It's like Zope. Zope said, we learned a whole lot about stuff, and they said, they created what's called Zope 3. That actually got spun off into something that you will never hear of, because it is completely inconsequential, even more than Zope now is. And it's like, you know, and they kind of, what happened was Python ultimately, Python 2 was really, really affected by Zope. There was a strategic partnership there. Python was kind of looking for its killer app that would put it on the map, and Zope was really that. It really got it on the map enough that people paid attention to it. I'm here half an hour earlier than typical, so I have to take I have to take a different route than I usually take. Gotta go through the Truman Gate. But today is probably the last day I'm gonna have to do that. There's Maxwell. This isn't the right one. All right, anyway, so I don't know what I'm recording about. I was actually recording about how I'm kind of, well, it's good to listen, but then you have to process, and then you have to produce. You can't spend all your time listening, then you're just a consumer. So it's really important to get productive. In computing, it's kind of an interesting animal. You don't really want to do much. You don't really want to do too much with it. Oh, this gate is open and looking good because there's almost nobody there. It's 5 in the morning, man. I woke up early, and usually when I wake up, it's like, what am I doing? But I also have time there to do my own personal writing. That's a good thing, for me at least. All right, we're at this wonderful gate, and I'm having to kind of put my... Here, let's turn off this. Anyway, so kind of what we got going. Okay, it's time to stop.